Thank you for meeting us on our own Emmaus road. And thank you for revealing yourself to us in conversation and in the table that you have set. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Some time ago, there was a number one bestseller list on the New York Times. It's entitled The Year of Magical Thinking. It was written by a well-known author by the name of Joan Didion. And in her book, she stated that she and her husband returned home to have dinner after visiting their son, who was seriously ill and in a coma in the hospital. And after they spent their dinner together and prayed and thinking about the future, all of a sudden, her husband died. And then later on, her son also died. And she was caught in such a state of grief. And so, in the book, she stated that it's an exploration of her growing awareness because she had this idea because of her own grief, believing that somehow her husband would come again. She was angry, but she was also hopeful. And she said in her book, it's as if there is no eye really on the sparrow. And she said that grief can easily turn to be a place that none of us know except until we reach it. Grief is turns out to be a place that none of us know until we reach it. Grief, like love, takes on a surprising... grief, like love, takes us to surprising places where we know that hope abounds. And so when I read this portion of the book from the author, I realized that it resonates really with our gospel lesson this morning on the two individuals on the road to Emmaus. And so I keep on asking myself, where is really our own Emmaus? How do we deal with our own sense of loss and trying to capture the essence of Jesus today? And so when Jesus met them, they were their demeanor, I like the term countenance, their countenance was sad. In the scripture, even said they stood still and trying to make sense of what had happened. And in that situation, one of them turned to Jesus and with an attitude, so to speak, turned to Jesus and said, "Are you the only one who hasn't heard about what had happened in Jerusalem that day?" And there was a litany of what had happened, dying on the cross, and the uncertainty and the loneliness of not having Jesus with them as a companion. You see, the cross still loomed on the horizon because the cross during that particular time was a vivid reminder, you know, to follow the line, to toe the line. And if you don't happen to agree with the Roman authorities, then actually that is your future. And so that whole idea of the cross loomed so largely on the horizon. They were hoping for an Uberman. I've used this term before. Actually, it's from I don't know who coined that term. This whole idea of an Uberman or of a person of immense strength and character who will change the world and the worldview. That's something that they were looking for. We cheer, for example, when there is that life-changing event. Luke described this conversation, however, in a different light. Luke described this conversation with Jesus as Jesus probing the gentle heart of these two individuals. We aspire for a simple glimpse of the holy. We aspire for a glimpse of the holy because we know that the holy will offer something different that will change our outlook. And so the essential question is, will God make room for all of us? Is there a space for God to come into our own lives? And so I like the whole idea of their demeanor. They were sad. They stood still. But Paul said something different. That says, you have to have the demeanor of Christ. You have to have the joy of Christ in your lives. And Paul is saying that this joy is practical, and this joy is really a wise choice in our lives today. And so when I'm thinking about demeanor of Christ in terms of our word and our action, where do we find it? Since it's been raining for the last 3 days, I think, you know, the first thing that you think about is having a raincoat or a poncho liner or whatever you need to shield yourself from the rain, you know. I read a story. It's an old story from a bishop in the Philippines, and some of you know about him, and actually Vren knew him. We have a letter from him praying for us, you know, when Vren came to the United States. But this happened when he was not a bishop. This happened sometime in the 1940s when, you know, racial relations in the United States was different. But he was in all of places where in Iowa. He went to school in Iowa as a young man, as a student, you know. He was not a pastor yet. You know, he believed in Christ, but the passion for Christ in him was not present. But during an outpouring of rain, guess what? Someone came to him and offered an umbrella, a stranger, and they walked, and they invited him to be a part of the church. And this is the reason he said why I became a pastor, and eventually he became a bishop of the church, because a stranger saw my predicament. A stranger opened their hearts and minds and opened that umbrella, and then all of a sudden I experienced that I am under God's grace. So you see, Jesus keeps showing up in our own Emmaus. You know, that Emmaus can always be different and difficult for many of us. Sometimes our own Emmaus is filled with sadness, with loneliness, with trials and tribulations. And sometimes our Emmaus is filled with joy, unexpected surprises at every turn. When I look at the picture this morning, and this is a very nice picture of what could have been the road to Emmaus, I thought, that's interesting. Because in my mind, the road Emmaus is just a flat land. Maybe it's rolling a little bit, but it's a flat land. And all of a sudden, Jesus showed up. But here, if this were the case, you know, they could have stopped in the middle of this road and leaned on the fence. It could have provided some source of some sort of protection as they journeyed. So we have many different Emmaus experiences in our lives. They were afraid because, you know, in the Hebrew understanding, when a person dies, that individual goes into a place called Sheol. The good and the wicked, they go into that place called Sheol, and they wait for the final resurrection at the end of times. And so these two strangers were thinking of that place in Sheol. And remember what the scripture says, it has been 3 days. So what we have heard is always subject to our own interpretation and even subject to our own doubt. But Jesus showed up, and he was there to listen, to hear, and also to offer inspiration. Well, in the scripture from 2 Chronicles, it says, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be discouraged or afraid, because the battle is not yours, but rather it belongs to God. sometimes in our conversation and in our daily lives, we think that it's ours, it's our church, it's our committees, it falls squarely on our shoulder alone. We fail to realize that whatever struggles or predicaments or plans that we have, it does not belong to us. It belongs to an almighty God who will bless us and lead us forward. It also rang true for these two individuals, echoing the hopes and in the dreams. And secondly, I think the whole idea of Jesus being known in the breaking of the bread. I love that because I think this is the most important aspect of hospitality. Who would welcome a stranger into their own midst except God who welcomes all of us? And we know that in the breaking of the bread, that is really the genesis for the development of our liturgy to connect with the holy that started here. Something else descriptive happened here. They realize, and I think that's very important to me, they realize that their hearts were burning with desire when Jesus opened the scripture to them. Some of our walks are pleasant and leisurely. There are some walks longer than others. Now, I remember when I was going to school, that's the thing that I have to do. I have to walk to clear my mind, isn't it? Some of us walk not only because of a personal need, but some of us walk because, you know, we have to let go of our own personal burdens. And some simply walk because that is the nature of their own faith. The early church fathers, I don't mean the early morning worship service, but sometimes when we say the early church fathers, what is the early church? And the early church father simply said, in order for us to experience the love of God, we need to remember that the Word of God is there to heal and to reveal God's presence to all of us. And lastly, what I want to share in the scripture today is the demeanor, the tone of the conversation with Jesus. We know that God walk leads to God talk. It's always like that. God walks with us and God talks with us. And when I look at the scripture, I notice three interesting things from St. Luke. The first one, briefly, is that Jesus listened to the disciples. And then he talked with them and not to them. And some commentator says this is like preaching to the choir. Well, there's nothing wrong preaching to the choir, isn't it? There's nothing wrong preaching to the congregation if you were to preaching to the choir. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus was preaching to the choir because Jesus wanted to convey something very important and very essential. And secondly, Jesus was interested in, whatever my note says, in establishing ground rules. You know, there are ground rules. When you start talking with one another, you try to identify the things that are important to you, and you try to come to a resolution. And when you talk intently with one another, you know, you support one another. You don't withhold your affection or your love for one another if it's a real conversation. And so that's what Jesus did. He was so invested in the lives of these people, and he wanted to hear what they have to say. There's a passion. There's a drive in their spirit. And then the third observation that I have, which is also very important, is all the relational aspect in the scripture. We have a common journey. There are times when the important part of our God walk is sometimes eclipsed beyond our grasp or beyond our doing. You know, sometimes I realize that you may have noticed, I'm sorry, that rarely in the Bible does God bother to interrupt someone's life and ask him, can you do an easy task? God will not ask you to do an easy task. If you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, God will not ask you to do an easy task. We have a common journey. For example, if you think about Moses, you know about Moses shepherding sheep. God did not say to Moses, can you accommodate another 20 sheep, you know, in your flock? God did not do that. But instead, God said, go to Pharaoh and tell them, let my people go. And in the book of Hebrews, it talks about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things. Paul was saying that the faith that you have received today, can you imagine that in the first century? The faith that you have received today is still alive. And we complete that faith. You know, the faith that we have received is alive and we complete that faith. I like that because I think it is very important for all of us. You know, the faith that we have received according to the scripture passage from the epistle is enduring. It is the living word of God. Imagine just a glimpse of Jesus. Imagine a simple walk becomes God walk. And a simple talk becomes God talk. And finally, in the early church, whenever they break bread, because when Jesus spoke about parables in the Gospel of Luke, 23 parables, but you know that 70% of the parables are all about food, about God talk. And the writers back then said that the loaf of bread is the face of God revealed to us. Imagine what will happen when in all of our conversation, in all of our meal, we see the face of God in all of the things that we experience. Just a glimpse, but what a glimpse of the Holy. Amen.